Hey everybody, thanks for downloading Top Shelf Films. Just as a warning that there will be spoilers about the film that we are discussing today. So just remember that and enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Top Shelf Films. My name's Clay.
My name's Tony.
And this week we saw The Boy Next Door.
Yeah, we're not going to joke about it.
I don't joke when I don't like it, so it's always just a fun giveaway.
Exactly.
You'll know what the end of the podcast is like. Spoiler alert, Clay didn't say anything at the beginning about the movie. So that's not good. So this week we saw The Boy Next Door, the J-Lo movie with the guy who plays Four in Divergent also, and John Corbett, and some annoying fucking kid who pretends to have, like, he needs an EpiPen or some dumb thing. I don't know. It was
what?
A movie. That's
oh,
the fucking kid. I don't know who he was. I don't know what he's from.
I forgot him.
How did he book that movie? He's not famous at all.
And Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh, yeah. Kristen Chenoweth also. Yeah. She's like really
the
important.
The second famous person in that movie.
She's not in it that much, though. It's not my fault. She's interspersed. It doesn't matter. All right. Let's go to the numbers here, Tony. What are we looking at for this movie?
Let's see. Okay. So, once again, American Sniper, number one, $64 million.
Yes. Because it's made more money than anything ever.
Yes, exactly. Followed by The Boy Next Door, because you guys suck, and you didn't see Paddington enough. Number three, Paddington.
Not the listeners of our podcast, the at maximum
what
100 people who hear this.
Every one of our listeners
did
saw
not
that
all
movie
go and
anyway.
See The Boy Next
you
Door.
You don't know that.
Maybe we've created a following where people do go, and they're like, well, we want them to do one on this. That? So millions of people go out.
Oh, no.
Guys.
We're being controlled by the fans.
Guys, we've become too powerful. It's out of control.
So, yes, Boy Next Door opened with $14 million. Paddington with $12
million. Almost 15.
Almost 15, but I only wanted to read one number.
Okay.
Number four, The Wedding Ringer. And number five, Tac 3N.
Tac 3N.
Hanging in there. The two
Ooh,
other
we've got
movies.
A new one, too. What is what's Fantastic Four called?
Fant Four Stick. Guys, stop doing
it's
this.
It's just so stupid. You guys, I stopped using numbers as letters when I learned that you can't speak like an anime character in real life.
Guys, it was cute when Seven did it, but guess what? These movies are not Seven.
Yeah, Fantastic Four, I heard the new one is just like Seven. That's where I heard about it. There's a
well,
head
you
in
know
a box.
What? It's all right. Everyone's already comparing it to Interstellar, so
oh,
why not compare
God.
It to Seven?
All right. So we saw The Boy Next Door.
We did.
What kind of percentage does this guy have on Rotten Tomatoes? I haven't checked in quite a few days, so this will be
three movies opened up that weekend. All of them rotten.
Yes.
And Boy
well,
Next Door.
Paddington not, though.
Well,
but,
that
oh,
that,
sorry. That was
yeah.
the weekend before.
Yeah. It was Boy Next Door, Strange Magic, and Mordecai. And
ooh.
Yeah,
Mordecai not
I think that's
even on the top box office list.
This
right,
is the
well,
week
right
later,
now.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay, yeah.
But Mordecai I think was at 9%, Strange Magic at 18%, and Boy Next Door 14%.
Ooh. Strange Magic did not look good either. I wanted it to be good because it was George Lucas's first project out from Star Wars, but man, it was not good. Well, out from Red Tails, I guess.
Just so you know the consensus is The Boy Next Door may get a few howls out of fans of stalker thrillers, but for most viewers, it won't even rise to so bad it's good status.
Wow.
I believe we just called that bad.
Yeah. It didn't,
rotten Tomatoes.
You.
Hey.
That is rotten. So, right. So we saw that. So we saw that this week. What do we just go to the thing now?
I mean,
right?
There's a sponsor.
Just talk
typically.
About it, I guess. Yeah.
I mean,
so the sponsor this week, this week's episode of Top Shelf Films is brought to you by American Idol. For
damn,
if
yeah.
you make a terrible movie and you need to still be able to go home and like feed your kids and stuff for the rest of the year, just become a judge on American Idol.
Oh my God!
All you have to do is you have to have released one album, I think, unless you're Ellen. And then you can just do it if you want.
Clay, I just had an idea. So, guys, when we saw this movie, we made a lot of jokes during
we
this
did.
Movie.
We made a lot of jokes. We
and
made
I,
it so bad it's good status
and
with
I,
the movie itself.
And I think I just thought of another one that we should have said, because this movie would have been great if Jennifer Lopez has sex with the guy, and then as he's leaving, she goes, you know, you weren't that good, but, you know, I want to see you back next week.
And she hands him a call.
Yeah. That would make that movie great. Like, seriously.
That was crazy.
And then Keith Urban's just in the corner crying, masturbating to himself. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Hey, I like Keith Urban. How dare you? Not as a singer, but he's a nice man.
Just, or he's just sitting there watching and a single tear comes down because he thought it was so beautiful.
That would be funny. I would watch that.
You would watch that movie?
Yes.
You heard it, guys. Clay would go see any movie with Keith Urban crying.
It would be really funny. I would seriously probably go see any movie with Keith Urban crying in it. If I was guaranteed at some point Keith Urban would cry, I would go see any movie.
So, guys, this movie is... There's nothing different.
Let's talk about the plot, guys. Hey, sexy new neighbor boy. He's 20, but he's still in high school. He's taking care of an old bag of bones.
He's 20. How old is he really?
Oh, I don't know, like 30. Yeah. Let's look it up, because he's got to be... I mean, he looks old for 20. Because you're supposed to be like, oh, J-Lo's sleeping with this younger man. And it's like, I believe this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's that weird at all.
Ugh.
It was really. Let's talk about this real quick first. He's 27, so
I mean, still what, like 8 years older than he's supposed to be.
Yeah, he's pretty old. So he just turned 20. He says at the beginning of the movie, and he's a 27-year-old fully grown man, and they know that because they're playing to like his physicality and stuff, and no one would believe he's 20.
All right, we're gonna start off how. Me and Clay knew right away this movie was going to be great. Because it opens with a shot of J-Lo running. And then, randomly, it just cuts to a graphic of, like, a blueprint of two houses.
Like, it's like, if anyone listening anywhere understands what a 3D wireframe looks like, it's just... They, like, made a thing in Maya or Google SketchUp, whatever
your
3D software is.
Not our friend, Maya.
They made really, really basic houses, two of them, and then just, like, took a screenshot of it and didn't render it and make it look nice at all. They just... It's just wireframe houses in nothing. It's not even black. Yeah. It's, like, a weird gray.
And it's just, like, boy next door.
And it just says, the boy next door.
And nothing... Like
does
that.
It move?
Everyone,
nothing happens.
And there was no motif of that. That wasn't something like the poster was. It was just weird.
It was out of place and bad. It looked bad.
And I'm pretty sure we already were kind of crying from laughing.
Yeah.
We had some real good jokes this time, but we
had to be very quiet because there were two other couples of people in the theater. The two to our left, though, I think that couple of people, I'm pretty sure they were also there because they knew it was not going to be a good movie. But the people behind us seemed like they were actually enjoying it, and I felt bad. So we had to be really quiet.
Maybe their favorite movie was Swim Fan, and they're like, finally, another
what?
One. Have you ever seen...
What is that?
You don't know what Swim Fan is?
I don't know what Swim Fan is.
I do this.
Don't high five.
No, I'll do what I want.
We're doing a podcast.
Guys, we are filming in a live studio audience.
It's just Kevin. It's always Kevin. He's always here, you guys.
And you just heard him high-five me because I mentioned
we're looking up Swim Fan because this is how much we loved movie we saw is that on the podcast about it, we're just going to use our time to look up Swim Fan.
Do you think
Fan.
Someone listened to this podcast like thinking, I hope they liked it.
I'm saying... The movie was so bad that this is a better use of our time is to look up Swim Fan.
Yeah, this is a movie that was 2002, and it's...
It looks weird!
A moment of temptation leads to a hot body count and untold regrets for a high school swimming star in this thriller. Yes!
Starring Bring It On's Jesse Bradford and Traffic's Erica Christensen.
God damn it. So
it just looks bad.
Let's watch that one.
Guys... top shelf airline bottle swim fan.
You had to look at the title for that?
Yeah.
Swim Fan.
I knew it was swim something. Swim fast.
Swim away.
You drink swim fast if you want to lose weight.
Okay.
Protein shakes.
So, back to plot.
Okay, so this movie, and I made this joke as we left it, this movie has a sex scene between J-Lo and this boy next door that she's not supposed to sleep with because he's a 20-year-old high school student or whatever the fuck. And I made this joke as we left that I asked you how long The Curious Case of Benjamin Button was, and you said it was about 3 hours, and I said, I think the sex scene was about 10 minutes longer than that. So there's this sex scene in this movie that lasts for, my actual estimate is probably 7 minutes.
And I think half of that scene was just shots of him grabbing J-Lo's boobs. They were really into that.
They were like, we can't show J-Lo's nipples because she did not sign that contract, so cover them with your hands. And just go to town.
By the way,
don't move your hands.
What a shitty job that guy ended up scoring, getting that role, saying, like, hey, don't act in this movie at all, but you can grab J-Lo's boobs if you want. Fuck yeah, oh, I'm going to be in that movie.
And, like, part of the acting in this movie, too, I said it is, it felt like as the movie went on, people tried harder. Like, really, they were, like, trying to deliver a lot harder by the end, which still was not very hard, but... The disparate, like, the difference between the beginning and how hard everybody was trying to act and the end is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. They might have started feeding them cocaine on the set or something, but, like, they tried way harder.
And one thing I thought about J-Lo's acting is when we watched the newer episode of American Idol, I heard her talk and I was like, yep, same line delivery. Like, literally, it sounded the exact same.
I think she's much better on American Idol. She didn't act super hard. And John Corbett as the dad in this movie, I said this too, I don't know if we were supposed to like him or hate him. They sent us weird mixed signals for the whole movie, and by the end I was like, he's driven drunk, like, pretty deliberately, but also... He's reconnected with his son and ex-wife, and they're all in love, and I don't understand.
This was really dumb. At the beginning of the movie, the son wants to hang out with his dad. Like, hey, Mom, can Dad come over to dinner? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, he really wants to, like, forgive his dad. And then all of a sudden, next scene, he's, like, yelling at his dad, you cheating asshole! Yeah. You're never there! Yeah. You don't want to be there!
Because the kid of J-Lo's makes friends with that creepy neighbor boy. And then, like, we're supposed to just be like, oh, okay, now he's his father figure. We accept this.
Pretty much.
Which, like, despite the fact that we are to understand that this father has been with J-Lo for the kid's whole life, up until, like, right now. And we're supposed to assume that this neighbor boy moving in within, like, 2 days, he likes him better than his dad, who he's known his whole life.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
That's all I can say about this movie.
This guy who played that next door neighbor, they got him because he's super attractive, and they made him, like, if he has any amount of acting talent, I'm sure they were like, you're spoiling it. Just be hot. It doesn't matter. Like, so I think, even if he was trying to act, they probably just said don't, but he was a board. He was like someone painted a penis onto a board. And that is exactly what that was.
Also,
it was so weird.
In the beginning of the movie...
I didn't care about him at all.
J-Lo and her son are, like, trying to open up the garage door, which is stuck mechanically in a way that I've never seen exist.
I'm sure it's possible. It's just not a relatable enough thing that you should be like, well, I put that in the movie. People's garage doors get stuck doing that all the time.
So then the boy next door shows up, helps him out. J-Lo goes... and who are you? And then just hard cut to the oldest man ever on a wheelchair, just like
he looks like someone CGI'd him because he looks so fake.
And he's just like rolling really fast. Here's my grandson. Like, well,
here's my grandson.
And the best part is J-Lo doesn't react. She just like, oh, it's him again.
Nope, it's just your neighbor, the devil. He's a horrifying.
Oh my God.
He's so scary, and he appears out of nowhere, and they cut a little bit like a horror movie, because they know that they're trying to be a horror movie. They're not really. It's not even really a thriller, just because I wasn't thrilled.
No.
I mean, it wasn't even
a comedy, but we laughed.
Well, it was a comedy when Kristen Chenoweth was on screen, because she's the funniest goddamn actress there is.
Also, if you guys have seen thrillers like this at all, if there is a best friend who, like, says, I'm always there for you, and has been at least 2 scenes when she says that, she's gonna die.
She'll die.
Like, and I called it right away.
Well, and Kristen Chenoweth, like, try as she might, it can't make this movie better. And, like, Normally, she does really pep up a movie if she's the crazy, like, fun lady
role.
Her
in Hit and Run but in is this, so funny.
Ooh, in this, she was not the crazy funny lady. She was supposed to be, and then later, her, like, cut-up body fell from a ceiling.
Yeah, this movie...
Ooh!
This movie definitely went from 0 to 10 on the gore level.
No, it went from 0 to 100 on the gore level. It was like... Like, at the point where there were 20 minutes left of the movie, it's like the producers came into the editing room and they were like, hey, we got 20 minutes left. You need all of it to be crazy as shit. Put all of it in there.
Okay, I have another thing in this movie that was just so dumb. Guys, we're going to jump around this really elaborate plot here. But,
it's got a lot of layers.
Basically,
watch for those layers.
Basically, J-Lo and Chenoweth know this guy is crazy and probably is going to hurt J-Lo. And so he starts following J-Lo's car only to notice that Chenoweth is in it. Because J-Lo is sneaking in the house looking for a camera that was there when they had sex. It was really random and just slapped in there. So you see him
really crazy.
Quick. Turn, like, go over the fucking whatever.
The median. Yeah. He, like, he just goes in over his giant truck, he just, like, runs it the fuck over.
And he goes the opposite way that Chenoweth is going. And then he doesn't even go to the house. He goes to Chenoweth's house.
Yeah. What Kristen Chenoweth, like, gets home, and the guy is just there. And it's like, he made a full stop and turned around, I guess because he didn't want her to know he was going to follow her, but, like, big theatrical thing to do to just turn back around.
Yeah.
Like, could have let the camera roll for 5 more seconds and seen him hop the media in the opposite direction and just follow her again. It was crazy.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And like every time this movie tried to build tension, I would just like take a moment and step back because I was not immersed in this movie. I would step back and just think, this is so stupid and ridiculous. This can't even possibly be tense.
Do us the honor of talking about the bully scene.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's this bully that has been bullying the like, J-Lo's kid for what we're
understand.
By the way,
understand. We don't know anyone's name in this movie.
No.
We know J-Lo, Chenoweth, kid, and hot guy.
And hot neighbor.
Yeah.
Four. He's four from Divergent. But, like...
Why did they call this movie The Boy Next Four? Like, missed opportunity.
Oh, God. So there's this bully who we're introduced to... One time, when he's at the local hardware store eyeing some skateboard decks.
Yes, guys, has anyone seen a hardware store and seen, seen skateboard decks
You don't
there?
Like local hometown hardware stores don't sell decks. You build a skateboard out of. They didn't have trucks or bearings or anything on
also,
them. Like,
their idea of bullies are kids who ride their skateboards everywhere and have to push anything within reaching distance.
Yeah, and
they're just riding around going, hey!
Really dumb, like, oh, bro, what are you doing? I'm just skating over here.
Yeah.
And one of them, the main one in the scene we're about to address, is wearing a shirt that is just a picture of a lion that underneath it says swag.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think we can kind of abolish this idea that bullies or the bad kids are the skateboarders.
Are the skateboarder?
That was never
skaters,
a thing.
Skaters, yeah, probably, for one, have never really been the bad kids, and definitely are not the bully kids.
No!
If they are bad kids, they're spray painting stuff. They're not beating up other kids.
They might be like, you know, the hooligans who, yeah, maybe they'll like knock over a trash can or something. They're not...
We did it. We're the first people ever to defend skateboarders.
Yes.
But so there's this kid, and he's got like two lackeys that he doesn't need.
Of course, which every bully has, though.
Yeah.
Right? Every bully has a lackey.
They're also on skateboards. It's very weird. They just all roll around
in a goose V. There is no point in the movie where they are in the center. They're always on the left or the right of the main bully.
But also, the three kids are only in the movie two times. The first time. Where they're introduced in the hardware store where they're looking at skateboards
and
they're hassling the kid.
Still fucking stupid.
And then later in the movie, like, we're just supposed to remember, like, oh, wait, these are those kids that torment him that we've seen the one time. And they come back, and it's at a point where hot neighbor kid is real mad, but so is the son. And the son at this point has been learning to, like, box and fight with the hot neighbor kid and stuff. Like, he's really... he's like buffing up and he's learning to fight and stuff. So you think when this bully comes that this kid is gonna bum rush him and like take him down with all of his newfound like skill, but as he like cocks his fist and starts to like go towards this bully kid to hit him, hot neighbor kid just comes flying in from like out of frame, just like full like L-shaped body, just kicks the shit out of the bully kid directly into a locker. He like flying kicks him from nowhere. We have no setup for it, and this kid is just wasted on this locker. It's crazy. The violence is crazy in this movie. It was, oh, it's one of the worst scenes, but I laughed so hard.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it was fucking insane. Oh, my God. It's worth watching this whole movie just to see that one time. Because it's crazy. But, man, it is, this whole movie, it's so badly paced. Like, for the first 2 minutes of the movie, they're just cutting between random pieces of exposition, introducing characters we don't know, but not by introducing, like, their relationships or anything, just by having them, like, it cuts to these new characters, and they're just spitting exposition to J-Lo, and she's just like, yeah. And that's the first 2 minutes. It's just cut. It's like a montage of exposition that just gets us kind of nowhere, and then the movie starts. And then for the next, like, hour and a half, nothing happens. There's a 3.5-hour sex scene, but then after that, nothing happens for, like, an hour.
Oh, God, no.
And then, like, 10 minutes to the last 20 minutes, stuff starts to speed up a little, and you're like, oh, okay, like, ooh, something exciting's happening. And then the last 20 minutes are like, I hope you're not on acid, because it's about to get fucking crazy. And the hot neighbor kid's just straight up murdering people.
The hot neighbor kid thought he had, like the upper hand the whole time. Like,
oh, sorry, anyway, I guess the reason he's doing this is because he loves J-Lo. Didn't say that, but like, that's the whole fucking thing.
But, like, he's like, what do you do, tell people? Like, yeah, because you raped her, and now you're threatening to kill her, essentially. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's...
how it was. He was, like, she was, like, pushing him away for that sex scene, and he's just, like, got his hand in her crotch. It's like, no, it's love.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this movie was.
Oh, yeah, definitely if this was presented to, a higher court, he would go to jail for rape, definitely.
This is great. I found a...
Because she was like, no, for, like, a long time. And he was, like, doing stuff to her for a long time with her saying no.
I found a little review here that I like. It says, if you've never seen a motion picture before, The Boy Next Door will amaze you with its ability to project huge images of beautiful people onto a screen. Otherwise, it's nothing to be concerned with. That's
right.
What this movie did. It put people on a movie screen, and then it...
And then it killed Kristen.
Okay, now let's go to the craziest part, though. I think we went through.
Yeah.
But now we're at the typical ending that ends with... them fighting him when the place starts on fire.
And it's always a barn.
Yep.
No matter what the setting for your movie, someone in that movie is going to have a barn, and it will be flammable.
And, earlier in the movie, the hot guy, he stabs J-Lo's son with a needle that he needed.
Yep, he gives him, his EpiPen.
Yep. So then in
when
the barn...
When he's hurt, like, he's using it correctly.
In the barn, J-Lo... sneakily gets that from her son and then stabs him in the eye with it.
Well, yeah, so this is after the hot neighbor has kidnapped J-Lo, her son, and her husband.
And killed Kristen Chenoweth. Which, by the way,
just straight up, like, raked the shit out of her face with a knife. Like, it's crazy.
Chenoweth's character has a husband, right? Where was he?
No, she didn't have a husband.
She did.
She was on a double date the one time, but she was like fun old spinster aunt. She's like that kind of lady. She's hopeless with men, but she's sure funny. That's the kind of lady she was supposed to be. But, like, she fell from a ceiling dead. So that was funny. Good delivery, Kristen Chenoweth. It was funny when they dropped your dead, lifeless body covered in slice marks from a knife. That was good. But the rest of it wasn't. And so we get to this barn where he has stolen... their whole family, beat the shit out of the husband.
I like you use the word stolen.
Yeah, well, he took him, and he just beats the shit out of the husband. He's, like, chained up, and he's beat him just, like, bloody, and then he wakes him up at one point just to, like, punch him again and knock him out. It's really weird.
Yeah.
And the husband has at no point apparently tried to get out from where he's been tied, because then later, when his son and Jayla are in danger, he's like, whoa, it's time to man up. And he breaks out of his, like, constraints.
Also, guys,
after his son has been tortured a little, I think.
Let's be smart here. When your whole family's tied up, and yep. there's a bad guy,
yep.
and you get loose, and you hit him with something really hard,
well,
and
you,
he falls
no,
down.
No, you gotta go check if your family's okay then.
Yeah,
once,
you, gotta,
once you hit him once,
you
gotta check.
Untie your family right away, because there's no danger. Because
once you've hit him once, he's dead. That's
how it
works.
The barn is not on fire at this point. So she goes to, you know, let her son out. And then, of course, Hawkeye comes back. And now the barn's on fire.
He
and everyone's
back
in danger.
Because what did she even hit him with? Just like...
I can't remember.
It was like a bat or something,
yeah.
though. It wasn't anything that would even remotely have a chance of killing him if swung by J-Lo in this movie. Because J-Lo in real life is probably like a strong lady who could fight off an attacker. But in this movie, she's just a hopeless woman. And she needs some help from the two men in her life.
So,
she does technically stab him right in the eye,
yes.
and then pull
okay,
the needle
yeah.
out of his eye.
Tell him what happens
and
here.
And then she, like, pushes her thumb into his eye, but, like, they paid for a whole practical effect or footage of a practical effect where someone is, like, pushing an eye into a head,
so
and they cut to it, and it was real unnecessary and outrageously gory. It was crazy.
And it held on to there for...
Yeah, it was really weird. But so that was very independent of her, I guess. But then when her family got free and she was fighting them, that was... And like I said at the end of this movie, once they, like, beat him and got out of the flaming barn and he was, like, left in there to die, I seriously thought they were going to get to the hospital and he was going to show up and there was going to be more movie.
Until a fiery log just lands on top of him.
Yeah. Then a log landed on him.
But then there wasn't even, like, anything after that. I don't even think there was a dialogue. It was just they're in a... ambulance and start driving away, and then it's like, we're over, guys. We did it. Boy next door.
We're over. But yeah, it's, it's weird. Also, there's a part where the hot neighbor boy has, like, a weird dungeon that
yeah.
is, like, a bunch of pictures of J-Lo, and he, like, sleeps down there, and, like, I think we're supposed to assume he, like, jerks off down there. It's really weird. It's super weird.
Guys, I'm gonna go ahead and actually recommend this movie.
What?
If you get... tons of beer and weed and just some friends and sit on the couch.
Just
because you will
fucked
have,
up and watch.
You
this
will
movie.
Have a fun time then.
It is true that in any altered state, you would probably have a much better time with this movie, or even
like,
just do what we did and just have a friend there to make fun of it with.
Like though, this movie
honestly,
was super
I had a good
bad.
Time watching it.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Though this movie was super bad, I had a better time watching. I think I laughed more during this movie than Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh yeah, and this was better than Exodus. This was definitely better
and
than
Ouija.
Exodus. Yeah, oh,
but it's
yeah.
still really
We've seen
terrible.
Some terrible movies for this podcast, you guys. I hope, man. These are the episodes nobody even listens to, also. We get the least amount of listens on these episodes where we have to go see these awful movies.
Yeah, and so we just have our shitty listeners listening. You hear me, Amanda?
Stop!
Don't worry. She won't listen to it for like another 2 months.
I think,
then she'll yell at me.
I think that we've talked about this before, but one of the movies that I think... we'll get a good amount of listens on this podcast will be when we have to see 50 Shades of Grey.
You mean like 2 weeks?
And I sincerely hope from the bottom of my heart that that movie gets like a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. What if,
well,
it's an what if it's an amazing
to be fair,
movie?
To be fair, we
that would be so funny.
Thought that way about Paddington.
Yeah.
And now that's at a 98%.
That's true.
And
I just think it would be the funniest thing in the universe if we went and saw 50 Shades of Grey and loved it.
I know, right?
That would be amazing.
I forgot who I was talking
Stay tuned,
to,
guys.
But I was talking.
That'll be a very exciting week.
I was talking to someone this weekend, and I brought up that we probably would see this for the podcast, and they were like, are you sure it's going to make the most money, though?
Yeah.
Yes!
It's
it
the most
viewed
It's
trailer.
Sold out, like, all of its tickets on Fandango in, like, a bajillion theaters already. It's like, what did they say? It's their highest... selling pre-sale for like an R-rated movie of all time.
And it's also like the most viewed trailer on YouTube.
Yeah, it's gonna be us and like 7 boyfriends and like 35 women.
Mm-hmm.
Which
all masturbating.
I'm not trying to generalize, but I just honestly believe that's what we'll be seeing. Because in a lot of these
what
movies,
if we go there and it's all men?
That would be amazing. What if we go and it's all men and we all love it? Oh, I'm so excited. All right, hey, this movie though, rail.
Rail.
It's rail, guys. See it for fun, though. Like, if you want to make fun of it or something, see it. Don't watch it yourself, though, because if it's just you, it won't be fun.
Yeah.
You need someone to bounce what's going on off of.
And be with a funny person, so, you know, your mom's probably not a good choice.
Yeah, so don't take Tony either.
Oh! Okay, fine.
I was your funny person. That's what I was getting at.
Whatever. I said some.
Hey, what are we going to be seeing this week? We've even got real numbers because we're very late on this.
Well, not yet, though.
Oh.
Because the actuals have not been released.
Oh, okay.
Guys,
it's very close, though.
Yes.
So, this is why kind of we've waited.
Once again, American Cyber is number one. So. Number two right now is Paddington, and number three is Project Almanac, and the difference is $5,000,
which
and this is just an estimate, so we don't know for sure yet.
I bet the actuals will be a lot more different. I bet they'll spread out when the actuals come out, because that happened when we saw, what did we have
Let's
to see?
Let's See Cops, wasn't that one?
No, there was one that was like tied, and then the one that we didn't think we were going to have to see got way ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what it was, though. I don't remember. It was something recently, and it wasn't a very good one, I don't think. But I don't know. But it happens. So it'll be very interesting to see what we see this week. It will either be Paddington or Project Almanac. Mm-hmm. So that'll be... Either way, I think that'll be fun. Paddington would obviously be a lot better. But Project Almanac for weird, like, YA... Well, not YA. It's just like... Kind of low budget sci-fi horror kind of stuff. I think it'll be.
If you like Chronicle, you might be appealed by this movie because it looks.
I think that's the point. Is I think they're advertising that audience. I don't think it'll be good.
No, I don't think.
I love Chronicle. I don't think this will be good. But yeah, it's the same kind of thing. So it'll be interesting at least to watch if we get to see that one. So we'll know in a couple days, and then we'll have it out then. You guys, you'll get to hear all about it.
Damn straight.
So, how about some airline bottles?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
I watched Rosewater.
Okay.
Which is the directorial debut
of Jon Stewart from The Daily Show.
From The Daily Show.
With Jon Stewart.
And it's a very interesting story because it's about this journalist that Jon Stewart had on his show and then went back to his country, wherever he was doing journalism. I believe it was Tehran or something like that. But they basically capture him and imprison him because they thought for him being on The Daily Show, he was being a spy.
Yeah, so Jon Stewart is directing what is a biopic about something that he inadvertently caused.
Though they don't,
is very interesting.
The movie doesn't use The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Like they kind of change that a little bit. But... for the most part, I thought this was a good movie. I didn't think it was great. It was a little, I felt lacking in the script. I didn't think it was as hard hitting as it should be. But for a first time director, especially for like Jon Stewart, who even though he's political, most people would think of him as, you know, a funny guy.
Yeah, we wouldn't expect him to direct a movie.
Yeah, he did a really, really good, he did a better job than some people have done doing dramas.
I would be interested to see that just for that reason, because he's another director like Angelina Jolie or Ben Affleck, who they're coming in the middle where I would say from the outside, from us being someone who wants to work our way up to where a director is, it's... this sounds really bad, but it's almost unearned, but not at all in like an offensive way. It's just they're going up through a different path, and then they move sideways into a track that they've only kind of interacted with on like a topical basis, probably because, you know, they've interacted with crew.
Yeah.
They probably understand how film set works, but to go from actor over to director is a big leap.
Yeah,
and just becoming a director, it doesn't mean you're going to be good. Just because you've been on film sets, Angelina Jolie directed Unbroken, it was not good. I mean, parts of it were good, but she's not a good director yet because she entered from the side rather than working her way up, I feel like. And so I'm always really interested to see stuff like this because in the case of Ben Affleck, he became an amazing director, but these are a couple people, or like James Franco, he has been very bad, and that's...
But,
it's interesting
and then
just
on
to
the flip
see
side, though,
where they go.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's movie's pretty
Joseph
good.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
Don
amazing,
John.
Yeah. Great movie.
And he wrote that one, too. I also would recommend this movie for the lead performance by...
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yes, I'm scared of saying that name, but...
you had your fist in the way, so I had to
trip
over the middle.
you would recognize him in things. Maybe, like, not as, like, main character stuff like that, but... he was really good in it. So, Rosewater, guys, if you're just cool with some political stuff, check it out.
If you're just cool with some political stuff, for all the dogs out there listening, you could go see Rosewater. You could do it if you want to.
But, yeah, so this week I saw, you actually made me watch it. I watched Transparent.
Fuck yeah.
And I don't know if you guys heard, but it won some awards because apparently it's a good show or some stupid thing. It
won Album of the Year, yeah, which was really weird.
Lord won Best Grammys. Rock last year, and this year, this won it. Best Rock Album.
I would not be surprised if Grammys gave an award to a TV show.
Yeah. So
good job, they, Grammys.
So Transparent was nominated and won Best Rock Album of 2015 at the Grammys. And I think we've talked about it before on the podcast. Everybody knows what it is at this point. It's Jeffrey Tambor just being awesome. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the entire cast is amazing.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people I didn't know were in it, like Rob Hubel, Carrie Brownstein, Catherine Hahn was good.
Oh my god, you remembered her name.
Jay DePlace, Mark DePlace's brother. Mm-hmm. Really great cast. Seriously, it's amazing. And I recognize more, but I don't know their names. But I would say everybody who has access to it, Amazon Prime, it's the Amazon Prime original that is now, it's made them legitimate, so everything from here on out will have a lot more gravitas, I suppose. It's super good. It's only 10 episodes long. Each episode is like 30 minutes, so it's pretty easy to rip through in a couple days. Really super good.
Don't keep in the mindset that Jeffrey Tambor is going to be George Michael Sr., though. He really puts on a great dramatic role in this.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
It's got some
good comedy too. Yeah, it's dramatic comedy at its peak. It's really nice.
Definitely.
There we go.
We did it.
That's this week's Airline Bottles, everybody.
Yeah.
And as always, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Truth About Clay.
And I'm at Tone Furkey.
TONEFURKEY. We will talk to you guys next week. Remember to download episodes, so if you want to listen to them before they get flushed out of the system, you will have them for later. We appreciate it. Give us reviews on iTunes if you listen and you haven't yet. That moves us up a little bit in the rankings and stuff.
Also, I thought of this, guys. If you want to, if you think that movie was good and we said it was bad, or vice versa, go find us on Twitter and yell at us about it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I want to hear your conversation.
We tell you our Twitters all the time. We don't really use them.
Yeah.
Yell at us on them, and we will. There you go. Two people will do any of those things, probably.
Did I tell you that I live tweeted not the Super Bowl, but every commercial for the Super Bowl?
Nice, good. Seriously? And, that's crazy.
I mean, maybe not every, but I did
that's
a lot.
That's a lot. That's wow. Guys, go find at TONEFURKEY on Twitter
and watch my live
go check out Tony's live tweet of most of the Super Bowl ads. Sounds great.
Have a good night, people. Take care.